Stepping from a comfort zone to something new is part of the exhilaration of being human. Rites of passage produce growth. Leaps of faith often come with mixed feelings. Realizing that many others have done it doesn't make it any less scary and exciting. The first time the training wheels are removed from a bike, one is free to fall and bruise oneself, but one is also independent, free to travel through tight quarters, make sharp turns, and discover the wind of a faster speed and expanding the area which one can now explore. Graduation means leaving behind the familiar, where one is often at the top of the social order, to a world of opportunities where one may fail several times until one finds their place, where their experience, education, skills, and delights come together with a need that the world has and be able to get paid for it. Our life is full of leaps of faith. Going to kindergarten, leaping from the diving board, the first kiss, public speaking, deepening a friendship, driving a car, buying a house, welcoming a baby into your family. Leaps of faith give us a tiny glimpse into the feelings of the disciples as the resurrected Jesus ascended into heaven. Luke explains, "Then Jesus said, 'When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And Jesus said, 'Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that the message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as God promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven.' Then Jesus led them to Bethany, and lifting his hands to heaven, Jesus blessed them. While Jesus was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. So they worshiped Jesus and then returned to Jerusalem, filled with great joy. And they spent all of their time in the temple praising God. While Jesus was blessing them, Jesus ascended. Jesus' blessings never stop. God's blessings continue every moment of our life for eternity. We are blessed to be a blessing. God is fulfilling the ancient covenant made with Abraham and Sarah. God said, 'I will bless you, and you will be a blessing to others. All the families on earth will be blessed through you.' The disciples and us continually enjoy blessings to be witnesses, sharing, explaining, living, demonstrating God's love to everyone. We are to proclaim grace, the forgiveness of sins to everyone. Every life matters. Black lives matter. Police lives matter. Politicians' lives matter. Even violent looter lives matter. We are to love every person fully, completely. We are to offer every person forgiveness and help them find a way to live a joyful, abundant life. Jesus opened the disciples' minds to understand the scriptures. He opened their minds to understand this radical love, just as Jesus is opening our minds. Jesus fed the poor. Jesus had dinner with despised outcasts. Jesus made clean the unclean. Jesus gave clarity of mind to the troubled and depressed. Jesus gave living water to a notorious sinner. Jesus told a convicted criminal, "I will see you in paradise." Jesus loves and values children, women, and slaves fully, equally, the same as the most elite man. Jesus healed the servant of a centurion upon his request. Keep in mind that centurions often terrorized people who were not citizens of Rome. Centurions were the ones who were ordered to crucify people, and they hung those people along the road to instill fear. Therefore, it seems that Jesus loves terrorists. Even terrorists' lives matter. Jesus is opening our minds to Scripture. All the commandments can be fulfilled with love. Jesus embodied love to show us how to love every person. The disciples witnessed Jesus' love, and now they are to embody God's love, being God's witnesses to the world. Pope John Paul II said, "The body, in fact, and only the body, is capable of making visible what is invisible, the spiritual and the divine. It has been created to transfer into the visible reality of the world the mystery hidden from eternity in God, and thus to be a sign of it." The book of Acts tells of Jesus' ascension from a slightly different perspective. In my first book, I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after Jesus suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, and he proved to them in many ways that he was actually alive. And Jesus talked to them about the kingdom of God. Once when Jesus was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until God sends you the gift God promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" Jesus replied, "God alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, Jesus was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see Jesus rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." Easter is transforming everyone and everything. Before Easter, we had guardian angels who were always proclaiming, "Do not be afraid." After Easter, we have directional angels asking, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? And why are you standing here staring into heaven?" Before Easter, fear was justified. After Easter, we should not be afraid. Jesus has and is overcoming every fear. The worst fear of all was death, but Jesus rose from the dead to eternal life. The disciples before Easter were afraid, denied, and betrayed Jesus. After Easter, with the continual blessing of God and the love of the Holy Spirit working within them, they were bold in loving everyone. The disciples' bold love resulted in each disciple being executed except John. They were killed for proclaiming the gospel. They were killed for striving to love everyone. Andrew was tied to a cross instead of nailed to it in order to torture him to slow the agonizing death. But Andrew continued to proclaim God's love and forgiveness to those who were torturing him as he hung on the cross for 2 days before he died. Most of the disciples were killed by crucifixion. One was skinned alive and beheaded. Another was stoned. Emperor Nero was ruthless. He wanted to redevelop a poor neighborhood of Rome, and he wanted to slaughter those poor people. So he set fire to that entire neighborhood, killing many, many people, And then he blamed it on the Christians to promote persecution of the Christians and more violence so that he could rid himself of these poor people. Yet Peter continued to proclaim God's love even to Nero, which eventually resulted in Peter being crucified by him upside down. The celebration of the Ascension reminds us that we have nothing to fear. Nothing can separate us from God's love. No matter what happens to us here on earth, what we do or fail to do, we will enjoy eternal life in heaven. The celebration of the Ascension reminds us that we are blessed and will always be continually blessed by God. The celebration of the Ascension reminds us that we are to be God's witnesses, proclaiming forgiveness of sins and love to everyone. How do you think the disciples were able to love with God's love? Were they really able to become fearless as they took those bold leaps of loving faith? I must admit, you know, I struggle and sometimes mess up loving the people I love the most, sometimes accidentally hurting them. I struggle mightily with forgiving and loving a terrorist, ISIS. How do we love a terrorist? Maybe it starts with our everyday life. This is the time of the year when Spencer is playing soccer. And soccer games go one of two ways. Inevitably, in the first couple of minutes, there's a collision, a little bit of a cheap shot, a dust-up that happens. And depending on the coaches, the parents, and the referee, and the players, one or two things happen. Either they help each other up, and the ref says, you know, keep it clean, and the coach gives some encouraging words, and the game goes on to be fiercely played, but a lot of fun, and the game goes well. Or the coach starts screaming, the referee looks away, and the parents start yelling, and then it gets chippy, and it keeps escalating and escalating. And by the end of the game, it's a slugfest. Maybe we need to take that same kind of approach into the world. How can we love at the very first instant? How do we stop violence yet be gracious and loving to the one who is doing the violence? Perhaps love for them begins when we strive to diminish our fear. Perhaps love for them begins when we refuse to hate, to think and talk hateful things about that person, yet work to stop their violent ways. Perhaps love for our enemy begins when we keep expanding our love, taking larger and larger leaps of faith. Certainly it involves forgiving ourselves for failing to love them, for thinking hateful thoughts, for being afraid, which is the beginning of the hate that is perpetuated. We need to forgive ourselves of that and strive to love in the next instant. We commit both individual and corporate sin. Today in the United States, we focus so much on individual sin, but we need to keep in mind the corporate sin, sins that we commit by being part of a group and a country. Corporate sin of discrimination. Because we live in a country that discriminates, all of us, each one of us, is guilty of discrimination. Corporate sin that produces poor neighborhoods, uneducated children, hunger, and unbalanced use of resources. Corporate sin that fuels hate. Corporate sin that produces hopelessness, that causes some to go out and seek drugs or to escape from reality. Corporate sin that creates an environment that causes some to give up hope and become frustrated, and then eventually to loot and become violent. We are not to be afraid. We are not to merely stand around looking to heaven, asking God to act, or saying someone else needs to do something. We are commissioned and blessed to love, loving our family, loving our church, loving our country, loving the world. Yes, loving our enemies. loving everyone. We are commissioned to take greater and greater fearless, loving leaps of faith. Whenever anyone is alone, afraid, hateful, violent, or in need of food, shelter, health care, or a safe home, you and I have committed a corporate sin. Our actions and inactions have created conditions where someone is not being blessed by us. Our lifestyle or our silence has created circumstances that has left some people out. Jesus is blessing you today so you can bless every person, just as Jesus blessed the disciples to bless every person, just as God blessed Abraham and Sarah to bless every person. Now, I must admit, I don't very much like this scripture. This is really hard stuff. But it's pretty clear that Jesus loved everyone, no exceptions. We are Easter people. We are not to be afraid of the magnitude of the issues, the complexity of the problems, afraid that our actions will not be enough to transform the world into one loving, joyful community where everyone is united by love. The ascension blesses us with God's love that is scattering fear, every violent act, and death. Thomas Merton explains how in the midst of violent, fear-producing circumstances, God gives us a gift of tranquility and love because God is able to lift our soul up into heaven. Thomas wrote, "This is the grace of ascension, to be taken up into heaven of our own souls, the point of immediate contact with God, to rest on this quiet peak in the darkness that surrounds God, to live there through all trials and all business, with the tranquil God who makes all things tranquil." Peter Noem says, "Ascension has a two-way vision. Ascension is an up arrow, pointing to heaven as Jesus shows us the way to our eternal home, a graduation of sorts. Ascension is a down arrow, a vision from God, rooted firmly in this life. That is our curriculum for how we live until we go to be with God. We need both. The goal and the journey to feed us as we experience our own ups and downs. Ascension is an important part of the Easter season because it helps us set our course as our lives adjust to the changes made by Easter, the day of resurrection." The Apostle Paul in prison, awaiting his beheading, wrote, "Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope God has given to those God called, God's holy people who are God's rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe God. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now Jesus is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made Jesus head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. We are blessed to bless every person with the glorious, illuminating, resurrecting love of God. The Apostle Paul urges us to rejoice, give thanks and love, for despite our experiences of brokenness, hate, fear, and violence, all is being redeemed. Love and joyful, perfect, eternal life will prevail. We are to love one another, for whenever we love, we reveal God." Amen.